There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
The Bookshelf, what you should be reading.
So we're looking at The Power and Danger of Community in two works of fiction today. Before we get into the discussion of the books, I want to welcome our guest today, Gillian Henny.
Good afternoon.
Who was kind of commenting randomly on some of the book news segments.
Very randomly.
So yep. If you heard a random Scottish voice, that was Gillian. So officially welcoming you to the show. You're not setting off just yet, are you?
From Dubai?
Yeah.
No, I have another, 2 months, plus a little trip home to Scotland. But yeah, I'll be around for a little while.
If you've not heard Gillian on the show before, she's the former head of programming for the Emirates Literature Foundation and the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. I'm very sad to see her go. But she is with us today to talk about books still. Can you tell us the two books that we're going to talk about?
Yes. So today we are going to talk about the first book, The Valley at the Centre of the World by Malachy Tallack, who is a Scottish author by no coincidence, actually, this time, and Bear Town by Frederick Backman.
So shall we start with Bear Town? Is that okay if we start with Bear Town?
Are you starting with that because you preferred that one?
No, not necessarily.
I did, so yeah, let's start with
Bear Town. No problem.
The reason I want to start with Bear Town is because I think it has one of the best openings I have ever read.
Yeah.
Would you be able to turn and find the opening to the story? Because as soon as I read that, I thought, there's no way I'm putting this down until I find out what happens.
Yeah, this was brilliant. So chapter one. Late one evening, toward the end of March, a teenager picked up a double-barreled shotgun, walked into the forest, put the gun to someone else's forehead, and pulled the trigger. This is the story of how we got there.
I think that's one of the best openings I've ever read. There's no way you can put that down after that.
It was brilliant. So hooked from that first chapter. It was brilliant. Yeah.
So would you mind telling us a little bit about what Bear Town is about without giving away key spoilers? Because there's two key things that you don't want to give away.
No, absolutely. And I was thinking about this before. I will not give away anything. Right. So it's about a small community based in a deep into a forest. And it's been suffering economic hardship for several years. So they've been losing jobs. They've been losing shops. So generally, things are looking quite bleak for them. However, there's one beacon of shining light in this town, and it's an old ice rink and their beloved hockey team, the Bears. So everything in this community revolves around the success or not of this hockey team.
Everything is riding on them. And if you think that, they're just teenagers and they have this massive pressure on them. And on the face of it, when I knew what this book was about, and before I read the opening, I was thinking, okay, it's a book about small town playing hockey. And I'm not really into kind of sports books. So I was just thinking, oh, this is going to be a real slog. And then you read that opening and you think, okay, this is about so much more than that. What did you think to it, Mark?
I had similar ideas as you. I was like, oh, I'm not really into reading about hockey. I don't know anything about hockey. But it's not really about hockey or sport. It's about this obsession that small towns tend to have about specific things, or even not even small towns, neighborhoods in bigger cities, and how there's this insane amount of pressure on these kids because this town really believes that if this team wins this hockey competition, that it's going to, you know, economically boom and people will be attracted to come back to live as opposed to leaving. And it's interesting to see how this issue impacts and affects everybody in the town in different ways. And it's important to note as well that you're kind of with a whole bunch of different characters. I mean, you have kind of like a hero or a protagonist, but you're reading about a lot of different characters and you're with, I think, about 9 or 10. And despite that, you're not really lost with who you're with. I think it's a really, Frederick did a really great job in keeping you, in fleshing out characters in a way where you're not boggled down by so many names, but everyone is quite distinct. And I think what's interesting is that you have people that you like, people that you don't like initially. Like, I didn't really like many people at the start, except for Fatima and her son, the single mother and her son. But then as you get into the novel and you read more about these characters and see their layers, you end up having, I think, empathizing with them a lot more, which I think is a really great thing that he did.
Yeah, we join them in the book when this young hockey team, so it's the juniors, this sort of all-star team that they're trying to bring through to try bring prosperity back to the town through the success of the hockey team. And this idea of the culture that they create around this team and what and how they make these boys feel. They're like rock stars to the community. Mm. All of the pressure is on them. If this team doesn't succeed, then how are they going to get the investment back into the town? They're talking about maybe getting a hockey school brought to the town if this team can succeed and get through the semi-finals to the final. But actually, the culture they're creating amongst these boys is quite a negative one.
Yeah, it's quite toxic. It's this idea of competition as well runs. It's a theme that runs in different layers, I think, in the book. And first of all, the sports competition between the guys, and then even competition with oneself. Like you have the coach who was once a star hockey player who played in hockey and then comes back, and he's kind of competing with himself to make sure that everyone does okay. And there's so much pressure on him from the sponsors and these people. And then even I forget the character's name, the woman who is trying to balance being a mother and then working as well. And there's that also that competition with the self, which I think I've never really thought about competition in that way before.
This was a big thing in it, the masculinity, femininity sort of themes that run through it, because there's only a boys team in the town. So only the men can play hockey. Well, the girls can play it when they're younger, but it's never going to go anywhere because there's no team for the girls. So everyone in the town is either they're playing hockey, you know, it's a boy that's playing hockey, or it's a man that previously played in the hockey team and maybe they've not fared so well and they end up working in the factory, but they then join this sort of big crowd of supporters, or there's the sponsors, they're all male, the board is all male. So it's about this masculine environment and the kind of locker room talk allowed between these boys, which they describe actually as being inclusive or entirely exclusive, depending on who you are in the story. Mm. I thought interesting that he talks about, you know, this sort of locker room talk so much when this is something that we hear so much about. And how much should we accept? How much is it okay when that is something that's done to relieve pressure, you know, in that sort of environment? And when is it actually detrimental to the culture of these young guys?
Yeah, and there's so much that's topical in the book at the moment as well. So like the toxic environment and like locker room talk as well, and even the opening of the book itself. You know, the moment that you read that, you're thinking, okay, this is incredibly relevant to everything that's happening in the world right now as well. Mm. One thing that I noticed about the book as well was that it's not just community that affects and everything in this small town that affects the way these boys kind of, the environment that encourages them to behave in the way that they do. But it's also the town itself. It's the environment. It's the natural environment that the community is in. And it almost becomes a character in its own right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nature there is the focal point of everything for the town. That's where their passion came from in the first place. That's where a lot of the characters seek solace throughout the book, you find. So two of the young boys have an island that they always go and visit whenever they want, just to get away, the two of them, and be just who they are without all the pressures of the team. And one of the girls in a really difficult moment runs off into the woods on her own and, you know, just wants to be with nature by herself. So it does play this sort of running role all the time. And yet it's sort of indifferent to what's happening with the stories of these people, because the cycle of the seasons continues no matter what's going on. As you see throughout the book, as things start to change, that's one thing that they can rely on, that things will always just keep turning over. Things will come good.
And I think it also adds to the sense of isolation, the way that where the town's positioned in the woods. And I think especially in the beginning when it's so cold, and I was reading this in our air conditioner at home, was broken, and I was really hot at home. But reading this book, especially in the beginning, and the snow and the cold, it Frederick Bachman did such a good job at translating or transferring that idea of isolation through weather or through the location, which I think is so difficult to do in such a simple way. Because when you read this book, it's written very simply. It's actually translated, which I had no idea until I was halfway through the book, that it was translated, and it's a really, really good job.
Yeah. I thought I liked some elements of this book and disliked some elements of the book. Like, I liked some of his commentaries throughout. I mean, it's not just a story. He comments on the human condition all the time. A lot of the openings of chapters are sort of setting some sort of moral question one way or the other. So it really gets you thinking. But I found it at points, I don't know if you guys will agree, just a little bit too sentimental. And there was some of the descriptions that kind of made me wince. It's like he slightly overwrite some of the descriptions, and there was points at that he kind of lost me.
There were, I think the thing that I found difficult at certain points was that the point of view, you think this book goes on for about 415 pages, and it's quite a lengthy book. The font's quite small as well. And this constant, it's an omniscient narrator throughout the entire book, and you're constantly flitting between all these different people in the community and different people in the town. And it always seems quite superficial, even when he's talking and trying to get inside the characters' heads. It's still at a distance, and it almost feels like it's too much. Like, you don't really understand what's going through a character's head.
But do you think he did that on purpose? Do you think that was not a flaw? Do you think he wanted there to be...
I think he had to. I don't think it would have worked if he hadn't.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think over a long period of time, it became a bit wearing. It was always the same tone of voice. The narrator had a very clear kind of style of, of writing, and it was just a little bit too much at points.
This is one of the things that I think this is a really good point, because it seemed to me, when I look at the book as a whole, and I really enjoyed reading it, there's a lot that happens in this book and it really gets you thinking, but when I got to the end, I just felt like it felt to me like he had cast cast several characters. Like, he'd gone out and thought, right, what points do I need to hit in this story? What points am I trying to make? And then he's cast all of these characters and then put them in this space where, very different in the other book that we'll come to, I felt like that was very much like we stumble upon this valley with the author and we discover the people that just happen to be there. Whereas I felt like everybody, they had such a purpose and each person had such a message that sometimes it felt a bit forced.
A bit plotty, too plotty.
Yeah, like... cute old lady with a temperamental problem, and she's now got to, you know, make a righteous point and redeem herself.
You know what, I felt that with the writing, when, because he does this thing with repetition a lot, which is really cool sometimes, with this word bang, 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 bang. He does it very cool, and you realize the different levels of what this word can mean, bang of, you know, shooting a gun or bang of hockey or something, but then sometimes it's too repetitive and it felt like it was too triggering of certain things.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Lots of little bits of repetition when he's really trying to make a point.
So we were just talking about the kind of point of view in the book and the fact that it kind of, it detracted from the story a little bit for some of us.
The point of view?
Yeah, point of view. So the narrator kind of skimming, that's why I was thinking that the narrator kind of skimmed over, he knew too much of what was going on, because obviously he's an omniscient narrator, and kind of the tone of voice or the language that was being used a lot of the time felt the same for every single character. And it was the sentimental element of it that kind of frustrated you a little bit.
Oh yeah, and just that some elements felt a little bit formulaic with the characters. I could see what he was trying to do, but like we were just saying off air, but the underdogs in the story all tend to, I don't want to give anything away, but certainly come to the top in some way or other towards, you know, as we get to the end of the story. And while I love that as a reader and it pulls on all of the right heartstrings, I don't know if it's as authentic as it could have been. But it just depends. I think that's a personal taste thing as well.
This is why I think it's always great to talk about the books that you've read with other people who have read them. It's because I came in here thinking, I love this book, it's great, it's wonderful. But now talking to you, and I was saying this off air as well, I'm kind of taking your points and I'm like, hang on, she's right. This is like a little bit, not that it's bad or anything, but there was some really formulaic elements to it where it felt like it was all laid out too well. I just noticing that now.
I don't think it ruins the read.
No, it doesn't ruin it. Yeah, no, it
because,
doesn't.
Because I hope I've not just ruined
it. No, you haven't. But it's making me think, like, hang on, like, because we were saying as well that he's very good at, you feel very, like, he's holding your hand throughout the story very well. And he pulls you into the story very well. But in a way, I'm thinking now that, hang on, it was all too well laid out maybe for me.
Maybe intentionally.
Yeah.
Because he asks some such important questions throughout that I can see why he had to guide us in certain ways. One of my favourites is when he's talking about the isolation of speaking out against a common opinion, but particularly in a small community like that, where for some of, well, it's not just the kids, it's the adults just as much, are in sort of fear, not just of being ostracised, but sometimes of violence, of loss of business, of just not being part of this hockey community that they've all devoted their lives to. sometimes stops them from doing things, or, you know, sometimes it's so much about the things we don't say as much as the things we do. And he comes back to that several times in the book.
And that's a really universal theme, I think. You don't have to be into hockey or be into sport, actually, to really understand that way of thinking. It's about, you know, what is the right thing to do, or this idea of joining the group for whatever social cause, or not joining it, having your own opinion, and that struggle between saying what you actually are thinking or not.
Yeah. I think also that's what the opening does. I mean, it's kind of a horrible way to intro a book, but it does immediately make you realize that, okay, this is about so much more than just a bunch of guys playing hockey in a small town. This is about something that's at the forefront of everything that we are talking about at the moment. So it's incredibly relevant as well. One of the things that I'd like us to talk a little bit more about as well is the specific characters in the book. So Ahmad in particular, and his mum Fatima. I thought that was absolutely wonderful. So in the middle of this town in Sweden, I don't think it ever specifies exactly where they're from in the Arab world, but you know that they're from this region. And
they're refugees.
Yeah,
And he was born somewhere else across the world. His mother gave birth to him across the world, and then they ended up in this small Swedish town.
Yeah. And he's completely picked on like you say, he's a total underdog. He's completely picked on at the beginning of the story. And everyone makes fun of him because Fatima, his mum, is the one who cleans the bleachers and the hockey rink and everything. And a lot of the kids make fun of him because his mum has kind of a low paying or low status job. And that's the bullying in the novel is just completely rife. Like, the toxic atmosphere is everywhere at school. It's awful. But the relationship that Fatima has with her son, and how he's constantly trying to provide a better life for his mum. So it's almost like he tries to look after her, and it makes her feel bad sometimes, doesn't it?
He is the best example of true grit in any character, because he doesn't really have any equipment of his own. He relies on getting like handouts from places, but he's at that hockey rink every morning, like training until he can barely move anymore, because he's just so passionate about the sport and so determined that this is his route out of this community, and how he'll be able to then help his mother, and hopefully, you know, she won't have to work this really tough job that's giving her back trouble and a difficult time.
It's interesting as well that it's actually his mother's job that helps him to get that extra hour of training before everybody else, which is why he's, you know, one of the best players, is because of that. So I thought that was really the fact that the point that everyone's bullying him about is actually something that is a strength for him, really.
There was a really lovely line, frustrated that I don't have it in front of me here, but it was about where he'd come from and the irony of coming from somewhere that had never seen ice or snow, and that is what he was born to do, was to skate on an ice rink and play hockey.
Yeah, it comes naturally to him. It's brilliant. One of my other favourite characters is Benji, who is kind of the second in line in the hockey team. So they have their big star player, and he's his supporter, because he's this kind of brutish player who protects the star. But and interestingly, both of these two characters don't have fathers in the book. So they have extreme feminine influence. One just, you know, with a single mother, the other with a single mother, and then three sisters. And I love the relationship between Benji and his mother and his three sisters, and how comical that is. And it's not this obvious emotional connection they have, but through the way that they wind him up and give him a hard time, you can just absolutely feel the love between all of them. I just thought he was a very special character and a bit different. Not the typical, you know, masculine hockey player.
I forget his name because I'm terrible with names, by the way, I apologize. The coach, I thought...
David.
I thought he was... I felt bad for him throughout the whole thing, just because he was this like typical guy who, you know, this hockey player who was amazing when he was younger, and he went to Canada and he's come back and he wants to sort of like bring glory back to his town. And he has his wife who's just, whenever he's complaining about hockey and he tells her like, this is why this is important, she's like, oh, you're so cute. Like, she's kind of like patting him on the head, and he's just trying to make things work. And I kind of felt bad for him because especially when you hear about all the jobs that he has to do within his job, I never really thought about how important a role like a coach is, not only for the, and really the pressure is also on him, not just on these kids, because if these kids don't perform, he kind of gets the brunt of it as well. So I kind of felt really bad for him.
And I really like the mentor. Is it Sune? I don't know how to pronounce the name properly. Yeah, so he's the elderly coach who's brought basically all the players in the town up through this team. And he's the one that comes out with all the gems of logic throughout the book. You have all these really good little quotable moments from Sune as he's explaining how the culture and community and everything comes together.
Yeah. I just want to point to the fact that you don't have to be into hockey or understand hockey. I have no idea how hockey is played. And even reading this book, it doesn't go into all these extreme details either. I just wanted just to point that out.
Yeah. No, a good point, because that was something that I was worried about going through. It's like, do I need to Wikipedia this as I read it? You mentioned David's girlfriend, and that's something that I wanted us to talk about as well, was the women in this novel. And there's another line that basically says that, because I think one of the other main characters is Maya, who's the daughter of the general manager of the hockey rink, of the hockey teams. And her best friend, Anna, she's kind of this really crazy go-get-em, wonderful independent young girl, and as she's transitioned into a teenager, it's described that she's kind of losing some of that. And a lot of the female characters, is I think there's one particular point where they say the only interest you could have in hockey was you could be interested in the players, you couldn't actually be interested in the game itself. So there's a very clear kind of gender divide in the town as well, that women don't understand hockey and they're not meant to, they're meant to just be in love with the players and be cheerleaders.
Yeah, another thing I was thinking once I'd finished was there's not really a weak woman in this story.
Absolutely, yeah.
They all have very different strengths, and they maybe have moments of weakness. And there's so many different female characters. There's the sort of tiger mums at the side cheering their sons on, doing whatever needs to be done to make sure their son has what they need. They have, I think it's Kate, isn't it, that's the Peter's wife, who is the working mum, who's this constant guilt of, you know, how she's spending her time, if she's spending enough time with the family or with her lawyer job. The young girls who are equally as feisty. And then it's Ramona, who runs the local bar, who is just a fantastic sort of battle axe of a character. But they all have sort of nuance, and they've got their own difficulties and things they're working their way through. But I thought that was quite significant that he's chosen to do it that way. Definitely this sort of feminine empowerment throughout the story comes through, particularly towards the end.
Yeah. Did you end up wanting to get on the ice afterwards? I kind of did.
Yeah. When you get to the very end of the book, I think everybody would be thinking that. Yes.
Absolutely. And we can't give away why they end up in the forest at the beginning, but he does lead you perfectly towards the final kind of conclusion and explains why there is that thing at the beginning.
And it's surprising.
It is surprising.
There are twists and turns throughout this whole thing. You're surprised by characters, some that you think are going to impress you and they don't, some you think are going to disappoint you and they don't. Don't be fooled by anything as you read through.
That's the kind of feel of the novel. Lots of little twists, and there's like a couple of really big ones.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago we talked about that book Tangerine, remember?
Yeah.
And I think that was a book that had a lot of tension building in it, and I felt like it was very forced. But here I think the tension building to why they were in the woods was done really, really well and almost unexpected for me. Like, I was just not expecting that at all. And I was like, how did he do that? I had to actually go back and see how he'd planted all these little things in there. So it was, a really well done job, I think.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.